Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and today we are talking about midwifery in South Central Alaska. My guests and in the studio with me today are Karen Braun, and Karen is a certified nurse midwife, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about herself later, and Amanda Rothbart, who is a doula and birth assistant, and she's also going to share a little bit about herself. So thank you both, Amanda and Karen, for being here today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes. For listeners, we invite you to call in or email your questions or comments and tell us your stories about your experience or your partner's birthing experience. We would really like to hear from you. So in Anchorage, you can call us at 550-8433, outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752, or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. There's also a great amount of information on our website, alaskapublic.org, including a few different informational websites and resources and references for you. So the topic of midwifery and birthing centers is certainly a growing topic of interest in Alaska and the United States and really the world. In Anchorage alone, we were just chatting before the show started that we've seen a few different birthing centers pop up around Anchorage this past year. And so KSKA has joined the excitement with this show. And then later this month, actually on Sunday, September 30th, a new British TV series, Call the Midwife, is debuting on KAKM. And so apparently this has been a particularly huge hit, rivaling the popularity of a show that I've actually yet to watch called Downton Abbey. But nonetheless, it's become a really popular show. And so there's a great amount of information about that show on our website as well, alaskapublic.org. So again, that's Call the Midwife, and that's debuting on Sunday, September 30th. You can learn more about it on our website. So again, I'd like to welcome Karen and Amanda to the show. And Karen, for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit more about your experience and the work that you've done as a midwife?
Well, Shelley, I've been a midwife here in the Anchorage area for about the last 19 and a half years. I've practiced both as a direct entry midwife attending home births and birth center births, and as a nurse midwife attending births at home at the birth center, as well as at both of the hospitals, both Providence and Alaska Regional.
Okay. And then you're also a mom to four kids yourself, right?
I am, yes.
And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my oldest is now 24 and the youngest is 11, and I've had a variety of care. I've had obstetricians, I've had nurse midwives, I've had direct entry midwives, I've had my children at the hospital, I've had my children at home. So I feel like I've had a broad experience myself with the different options that are open to women as to where they want to birth their children.
And how about you, Amanda?
All of my children were born or caught by nurse midwives, and I have three of them.
Okay. So. And you're a doula and birthing assistant yourself.
Yes, I am trained as a doula by Doulas of North America, and then I'm also a birth assistant at Virginia Woods Birth Center.
Okay. Well, let's take a step back and just talk a little bit about what is a midwife and what is midwifery. And so, Karen, I'm hoping that you can share for our listeners just defining that for everyone that's listening today.
Well, typically, a midwife is a person, usually a woman, who is trained in assisting other women at birth. And then there's a variety of different midwives, and it really depends on how people got into midwifery. Lay midwives oftentimes were midwives that attended the births of sisters, friends, family members, and gained knowledge through the experience that they had, mm-hmm. or apprenticed with another midwife. Direct entry midwives, which is the type of midwives that we have here in Alaska that are non-nurse midwives but that attend births and are licensed through the state, they oftentimes have also done an apprenticeship as well as a course of study, and then have had a number of supervised births and practiced with a senior midwife for a number of years. They have their own license, they have their own licensing board, and most of the direct entry midwives practice home births or birth center births.
And I did see just a little bit of information about that. So you can find that information about the licensing piece That's through the state of Alaska.
It is correct? Through the state of Alaska, correct.
Okay.
And then nurse midwives are, they are trained in the discipline of both nursing as well as midwifery, and usually have an advanced degree and are certified nurse midwives, which then gives you the opportunity to also do hospital births, have prescriptive authority, do well women's care.
Okay. And then a CPM, and maybe you already covered that one, is a...
No, CPMs, not all states recognize direct entry midwives, and so CPMs are, it's a way of licensing in states that maybe are unlicensed or where there's absence of legality. In Alaska, in 1992, the direct entry midwives actually got legislation together and went from being illegal to being legal. And that's when everybody started getting their licensing numbers. And that's when the term direct entry midwife became used here. I think before that, most of the midwives were considered lay midwives.
So in terms of the legality, then, a direct entry midwife can go into the hospital or cannot?
They can go into the hospital, mm-hmm. but at that point they become the support person for the mom that they're with, acting more as a doula like Amanda would.
Okay.
Whereas I, as a nurse midwife, can continue to take care of them while they're at the hospital, manage medications, attend the birth.
So, Amanda, tell us a little bit more about your job. So, by far, I should tell you that the question that was most popular when I told folks that we were doing the show today is, you know, I just really want to know what a doula is. We hear this word all the time. What is a doula? So, can you share a little bit about the experiences that you have, both that and then the title of birth assistant? What does that mean?
Sure. A doula, I like to, in lay terms, say is like taking your childbirth educator into the birthing room with you. We don't do anything that's medical, and we don't give any medical advice, at least that's out of our scope of practice. But we provide physical and emotional support to the laboring family, including dads. You know, when we also encourage patients to be informed and also to ask questions of their provider. Sometimes when you're in the middle of labor and things are really hard, you forget all the questions that you had. So as a doula, I might prompt them to ask questions. And then as a doula, I have attended births at all the hospitals here in Anchorage and the Mat-Su. And then I've also attended birth center births. And I have not attended a home birth as a doula. And then as a birth assistant, it's definitely, I use some of the stuff that I learned as a doula, but it definitely is a whole different scope in terms of care of the woman, because I'm sort of like the extra eyes and ears and hands for the midwife, is how I would kind of describe it. Karen, would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
And I usually am not there for the entire labor, but closer to when mom is about to deliver. And then I also take care of a majority of the postpartum care of mom and baby.
Okay. So that was a good question then, Karen. How does that relationship work with you? So you've got maybe a doula or a birth assistant that's working with you during a birth?
Well, besides a midwife being at the birth center, you always have at least one other person, and usually that person is a birth assistant. Some of our birth assistants are also trained lactation consultants or are nurses in the office. That's how they usually came into becoming birth assistants. Sometimes it's doulas, you know, somebody who's been involved with birth who then gets the additional training as far as the medical part of it, like Amanda was saying, you know, starts learning how to do the vitals, starts seeing what they can do to help us at the time of the birth. And we actually work very well together. Everybody's trained in neonatal resuscitation, and it's really a team approach.
So if you're just tuning in today, we are talking about midwifery in South Central Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and I am talking with Karen Braun. She's a certified nurse assist or nurse midwife with the midwifery and women's health care at Geneva Woods. And with her is Amanda Rothbart, who is a doula and birth assistant, also at Geneva Woods. So we would love to hear your questions, take your questions, hear your stories. You can call us in Anchorage at 550-8433. outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So maybe just taking another step back or two, so we know kind of what the definition is of midwife and midwifery and the different types of titles. What about the history? What are some of the major milestones of midwifery, the history of midwifery? Karen, can you share some of those with us?
The history of midwifery can really kind of be dated back to Mary Breckinridge, who as a young woman came into the Kentucky region back in the 1925s and started bringing midwifery. I believe she was trained over in England and brought midwifery into that region. From there, it wasn't really actually until the 1970s when nurse midwifery became a more important part of mainstream medical care in this country. And then it wasn't until the early 1992, I believe it was, that actually nurse midwives started getting licensed, starting with the New York area. There have always, though, if you're at all familiar with Ina Mae Gaskin, been midwives around who have attended each other's births and written books about it. And so there's always been an underground network of midwives as well.
So we actually have that reference posted on our website. So I'm forgetting the name of the book now. Is it Spiritual Midwifery?
Thank you.
So how about the history in Alaska, though? So can you tell us a little bit more about the practice of midwifery in Alaska? So even just current knowledge, what's going on in Alaska today?
Well, currently, you know, the part about midwifery that makes me really excited is the fact that we have so many different options for women in this area. So if you were pregnant, you have a wide variety of options. There's direct entry midwives, there's nurse midwives, there's having a baby at home, there's having a baby at the birth center, there's having the baby at the hospital. So that's the part about midwifery that's really exciting to me, is that where we're at now, it's legal, we have a great support system, the hospitals work with us, we have backup physicians that work with us, and that's in part what makes midwifery safe, is that we have this great support system that allows women to really have this fantastic opportunity to choose how and where they would like to give birth.
And so we know a little bit about those statistics, right? So in 2009, I'm looking at some of the statistics that you shared with me earlier. 8.1% of babies born in the U.S. were attended by midwives. And then if you look only at vaginal births, however, 12.1% are attended by midwives, and the numbers seem to be increasing.
Well, I can also tell you that this is one of the times where Alaska really does shine, because I think New Mexico is the state that has the most amount of midwives attending births, and then we're second. And a big part of that credit actually goes to Alaska Native Medical Center, because they have a huge midwifery staff and definitely do a lot of births over there.
I think I read on, was it the Alaska chapter for the American College of Nurse Midwives that said that 14% of births in Alaska are midwives, something like that. And so that's, you're saying, second to New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Wow. So, and I also read another, I thought, interesting statistic about just the average rate of C-sections being significantly less for women that are, for expectant moms that have their babies with midwives. And do you know anything more about that, Karen?
Well, I can share you the statistics for our clinic.
Yeah.
I looked them up the other day. So for our clinic, and this is both a birth center as well as a hospital-based clinic, our hospital percentage is 43% of the moms that see us have babies at the hospital, 57% at the birth center or home births. We do have a transfer rate from the birth center. That means somebody who came to the birth center was planning on having their baby there, but for one reason or another, risked out of having a baby at the birth center. Mm-hmm. And that transfer rate is about 18%. Our C-section rate is 8.7%, so really quite low. And then the rates for preterm birth is 2%, and the vacuum rate is 4%. Again, fairly low numbers.
So can you just talk about those numbers a little bit more? What do you mean by vacuum rate and pre-birth just to
preterm birth is any baby that's born prior to 37 weeks.
Okay.
So somebody who goes into labor earlier than was expected for their due date, those babies oftentimes have a little bit more difficult time with breathing, and so they're not a candidate for being born at the birth center.
Okay.
And so rather those births take place at the hospital.
And if I can just say, C-section rates in Anchorage hospitals, I think, are hovering right around 31-33%. So midwives having a C-section rate of just over 8% is pretty significant.
So we have a caller on the line. Chris, thank you, and welcome to Hometown Alaska. You're on the air.
Hey, Shelley.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to make a positive comment regarding nurse midwives. My wife and I went to Alaska Native Medical Center to deliver our two children, Joseph and Isabella. And I guess thanks to nurse midwives that we had, I was able to actually be in the delivery room with them, help deliver my son and my daughter, and cut their umbilical cords. And I think without, I guess that working with our nurse midwife, I don't think I'd have had that experience with a regular doctor or a nurse.
Well, thank you for your comment, Chris.
Yeah, sure. It was an awesome experience.
Well, I'm wondering, Amanda, you mentioned just before Chris called that, I wonder about the success there. Just you said the C-section rate is about 8% for midwives versus, or expectant moms that work with midwives versus this 31% of hospital births.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know why that is? Why that rate is just so significantly lower?
Well, first of all, I think we have clients that are very motivated in making sure that they have good nutrition, that they take care of themselves throughout the pregnancy. We have people that don't choose to be induced. So I think there's a fair amount that goes back to the consumer as far as having information, as far as preparing themselves, having taken childbirth classes, and then being in an environment, you know, being at the birth center, you are not hooked up to monitors. You are free to move around. We're not using medications like Pitocin. So these are pretty much normal occurring births. So let me jump back just a smidgen and go back into, you know, who is a birth center for? And what do we actually do at the birth center? Because mm-hmm. sometimes people have these ideas that you can come to the birth center and have an epidural and be in the tub. Well, that just doesn't work. You know, yes, we do water births at the birth center, but no, you can't have an epidural. We're not going to run any, we're not going to give anybody any narcotics. You know, you're coming in labor. You're using other modalities to help you work through labor. You're going to do a lot of different positions. You're going to have a support person like a doula with you. You're going to work on your labor breathing. You're going to change positions and get into a shower. You might be walking up and down the stairs, sitting on a birth stool, being on your left side, trying to help rotate a baby through that pelvis. So it's a very active part of labor. And that's a big part of it is, you know, working to help facilitate getting this baby through the pelvis.
So if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and we are talking about midwifery in South Central Alaska. And we're really lucky to have in our studio with us today two guests. Karen Braun, a certified nurse midwife. She's been practicing for over 19 years now. And then Amanda Rothbart, who is a doula and birth assistant and also a mom to three kids who she had delivered by midwives. So I was hoping, Amanda, maybe you could share a little bit of your experiences in the different birthing practices that you experienced in having your three kids.
Sure. I actually came to midwives while I was 39 weeks pregnant with my first baby, which isn't typically normal, but I was actually seeing an OB in town who wanted to schedule me for a C-section. And I just felt as a first-time mom that things just didn't quite feel right. So on a Saturday morning, I called actually Karen's partner and begged her to take me, and they did, and and they haven't been able to get rid of me since. I actually had planned my second two babies at the birth center, but risked out, and we can kind of talk about some reasons that women mm-hmm. risk out, mm-hmm. but But what I loved particularly about the midwives that I work with is that they do have hospital privileges, and so we saw that continuity of care. I was almost 42 weeks pregnant, and I didn't have to switch providers. We just changed locations, but had the same providers. Also, as a doula, and as a birth assistant, I've seen birth center births, and I will tell you that the first birth center birth that I ever saw as a doula, I walked away from and just said, wow, that's how it should be. And that was my first impression of a birth center birth. So
I wonder, Karen, if you can describe, you started to describe for us kind of the experience of having your baby at a birth center, but what is a birth center? What is their, you know, does it have, you know, are they under certain legal requirements by the state? Can you share a little bit more detail there?
Well, yes. Actually, a birth center is basically just a facility that has some bedrooms that you can come into and have a baby at. And they can be very simple, like one pretty much room that has a toilet, a sink, a shower, maybe a tub. Or they can be pretty elaborate. Matsu Midwifery here in the Valley has three birth suites. It's really quite elaborate to some of the smaller birth centers that have one room. The birth centers here in Alaska are licensed through the state of Alaska. And then some of the birth centers, and we have one in Anchorage, one in Juneau, one in the Valley, and one in Fairbanks, have an additional licensure, which is through the CABC, which is the Commission for the Accreditation of Birth Centers, which is an additional licensing requirement. It has to do also with insurance reimbursement. And basically, it's voluntarily setting to a higher standard for births.
Mm-hmm. So again, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about midwifery in South Central Alaska, and my guests are Karen Braun and Amanda Rothbard, who are both with the Midwifery and Women's Healthcare at Geneva Woods. So we're lucky to have them here with us today. So we'd like to hear your questions, take your calls. You can call us in Anchorage at 550-8433, outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752, or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So Amanda, when you were describing your experience, you mentioned something about risking out. And so I was hoping maybe Karen, you could explain a little bit more for us. How do you know you're an expectant mom? You're asking the question, am I really a good candidate for midwifery? Am I a good fit for midwifery? What are some of the things that, how do you know this? What are some of the questions or things that you should be aware of?
Well, first of all, the people who call us who are interested in having a midwife, we have them come in and we do a little half an hour appointment with them and talk to them about what midwifery care is, show them the birth center, and show them what we're about. And basically, a birth center is for young, healthy women who are having a baby between 37 and 42 weeks, who go into labor spontaneously. Now, some of that you can figure out in prenatal care. If somebody comes to you and goes, you know, I have this underlying heart condition, they are probably not a really good candidate for the birth center. Same thing with hypertension, somebody who's on insulin and diabetic. So there's some of these things that you can figure out in prenatal care. And right from the beginning, say, you know, you've had two preterm babies, you're probably not a good candidate to come see the midwives. You should maybe see, you know, this person, X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Other things develop in the pregnancy. Somebody might have had normal blood pressure, but then at the end of the pregnancy have higher blood pressure. And there, as Amanda was saying, there are risk factors that you don't need to switch the care provider. As a midwife, I can still be your care provider, but I'm going to change the setting. Instead of having the baby at the birth center, we're going to have the baby at the hospital. And maybe we do need to induce you. Or yet another time, we might have somebody who has met all of the criteria. Their water is broken and they don't go into labor. And if you haven't gone into labor within 24 hours of your water breaking, that's another thing that risks you out of the birth center. So then we would go to the hospital where we can use something like Pitocin, monitor the baby continuously, and just see how the baby's tolerating this labor.
So, Amanda, you also mentioned that for your second two babies that weren't at 42 weeks.
Close to, yeah. Just shy.
That you had, you said you had a plan. So I did, in the research I was doing, I did see that in reference to birthing plans. So mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit for folks that are listening what that means?
Well, you know, it's interesting. As a doula, I see lots of birth plans, and Karen may not see birth plans. Sometimes birth plans are very elaborate. Some people tape them to the door at the hospital. So, or sometimes they have many pages to them. Actually, as a doula, I actually don't recommend that. I tell them to have a few topics that are important to them. Let's say they want to eat in labor. I also tell them, have a hill that you want to die on. That's different for everybody. Some people are, I just don't want a C-section. Some people are, I just don't want an epidural. Some people, it varies for everyone. And I would say the most important thing, set aside the birth plan, is I tell women, make sure you are on the same page as your provider. I cannot tell you as a doula how many times I've had women come to me that say, I don't want any interventions, I don't want an epidural, I want to have as natural birth as possible, but I have X OBGYN who I know from my experience probably isn't on the same page. And so of course that's like shoving a peg through a square hole. So I tell people, yes, a birth plan is important, but more important, make sure you're on the same page with your provider.
Okay. So there's a few topics that you should definitely be in sync with your provider on. And so you mentioned some of those, which are from
pain medication, mm-hmm. Induction, and most of all, I would say, and Karen would probably agree, you just need to be flexible. Things come up.
You don't know how labor is going to go.
A birth plan will always change.
Okay, so Karen, with most of the patients that you've worked with, do they have birth plans when they come to you, or do they work on those as you're developing that relationship?
We actually give them a sample birth plan, and some people look at that and go, oh, yeah, that's fine, and just sign it. Other people write up a very elaborate plan, and some people go, well, the birth center is our plan.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just taking what people have given us and working within that. And most of the things, we have a bunch of time to discuss. That's what the prenatal care is for. We start to see people when they're 6 to 8 weeks pregnant, and we see them once a month up until they're 28 weeks pregnant, and then every 2 weeks till 36 weeks, and then every week until you have your baby. We've gotten to build a relationship with them. We know some of the things that they like that they don't like. We've had people who have told us they're very shy and don't like to be seen by other people and would prefer to keep a gown on. And, another person will say, don't touch my feet. Mm-hmm. There's specifics that people will like. Or other people will say, I need you to talk to me. Tell me what's coming next. And so part of the midwifery role is learning how to help somebody get through labor. And that's what the birth plan is for. It's a communication tool.
So we have a caller patiently waiting. Allison, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good.
I'm calling because I have two children, and I had midwives for both of them. My first son, I actually received my care at the farm, which is where Ina May Gaskin practices.
Yeah.
She wasn't actually our midwife, but she was around. The labor went really well, but then we ended up having to transfer to the hospital, and he ended up being born via C-section. And I was just wondering if the midwives could speak to some of the moms. A lot of moms choose midwives that have done a lot of research and have a lot of different hopes and expectations about their birth. And I know you were just talking about birth plans, and I wondered if you could speak to your experience with some of the moms whose birth didn't go as planned and sort of how you might help them through that or help them through the time after the birth and the disappointment that could be there?
Well, actually, that's a really good question. As a midwife, I have had people who I've been there at their first birth and the birth ended up in a C-section. And I've also had some of those same people come back and have another birth and maybe even have a bigger baby in a different position and have it come out vaginally.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me.
Yeah, and oftentimes what I've tried to tell people is that sometimes it's the position that the baby is in. You know, this is not anything that they did. This is not anything that was their fault. You know, if you were at the farm, I am sure you have you tried everything.
Yeah.
In order to make this happen. And part of it is, at times, it just unfolds in a way that it doesn't end up being the way you had hoped or planned, but it can still be a positive experience. One of the people who actually works in our office, who's one of the childbirth educators as well, actually works with women after they've had children. And I don't want to say it's a grief group, but it is a group where they do some journaling and some artwork and work through some of those processes. Because there is a lot of healing, especially when you've had a C-section.
There's also
I think a lot of it didn't come up until I was pregnant again and then was like, oh.
Yeah, and that's when it usually does come up.
Yeah.
Amanda, you have something to share?
There is also a the national chapter of ICANN. There is one in Anchorage. And ICANN stands for, I can't remember.
C-section.
International Cesarean Awareness Network.
Thank you. You know.
Yes.
I just couldn't think of it off the top of my head. Very good.
That work.
And do they have a website, you said, Amanda?
There is a national website.
Okay.
And there is a local group, and those ladies are, as my understanding, very supportive of other moms attempting VBACs, which I don't think that's something we've touched on, but that's vaginal birth after cesarean.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call, Allison.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the work that y'all are doing.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
So Allison mentioned having her baby at the farm. Maybe, Karen, you could share for listeners what that is.
Well, the farm is Ina Mae Gaskin's, compound's the wrong word, group living situation where pregnant women can come and have a baby with them.
Okay.
And I know they have a lot of midwives there, a lot of apprentice midwives. It's a big training facility for midwives as well.
Okay, so we are going to take just a short break, and when we come back, we will be talking again with Karen Braun and Amanda Rothbart, both with the midwifery and women's healthcare at Geneva Woods. I'm Shelley Wade, and this is Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website, alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA FM 91.1.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and today we are talking about midwifery in South Central Alaska. My guests are Karen Braun and Amanda Rothbart, both with midwifery and women's health care at Geneva Woods. And before the break, we were talking with a listener, a caller. Allison shared some of her experiences and just, you know, a specific example of some of the complications that can happen even if you have the best birthing plan in place and you've been working with a midwife throughout your pregnancy. And so, Karen, I wanted to just hear from you a little bit more about what are some of the common problems or complications that can happen, and kind of what are some of the statistics? What should a first-time mom know about, you know, what are the odds that she'll have a complication?
Well, the complications for first-time moms are about 30%. So that means that 30% of the people are going to have some sort of a hiccup in their birth experience. And that can be something very minor, like we talked earlier, the water breaking and not going into labor, to something where you end up with a C-section, emergency C-section or non-emergency C-section. Now, second-time babies, those are the ones I always tell people are much easier to have at a birth center because your statistics go down to 10% as far as complications. And third babies, it's down at 1%. So I was just at a postpartum appointment yesterday, and I was talking with a young woman who had planned on having the baby at the birth center. And I wasn't the midwife, but I just loved what she said about her birth afterwards because I hadn't been at the birth. So I asked her, you know, what do you tell people about your birth? And she said, oh, I tell people it was awesome. It was exciting. There was an ambulance. There was lights flashing, sirens, and then the baby came out, and it was a great birth. And I went, wait a second. I think I need a little bit more to this story because it sounds like a whole bunch of stuff happened.
Yeah.
And really what it comes down to, Shelley, is people's perception of how their birth went as well. In this young lady's case, she had come to the birth center, had progressed well in labor, was pushing, and the baby came down fast, and the heart rate went down. And the midwife felt that, you know, she wasn't real comfortable with where the baby's heart rate was at and that it was better to transfer to the hospital. And so those arrangements were made. They transferred to the hospital. My partner, Trina Strang, met them at the hospital, sort of walked in, and about shortly thereafter, they had a baby. And no, you know, they didn't have a lot of other interventions, but certainly somebody else could have come away from that experience going, oh my gosh, it was horrible. I had to get in an ambulance. You know, all this stuff happened. So it really does also depend on how people choose to view what happened in the birth.
So, Amanda, you had three different experiences. Did you experience any complications then?
Well, I will say probably the reason why I'll share this with my third baby that I risked out is I had something called an unstable lie, which is a baby that is flipping breech, so not coming head down, and then flipping back to head down. And I was 41 weeks, and in the office, my baby actually flipped from one room to head down to the other room to breech. And the risk with that is that you could get a cord that could, a baby that's floating like that, you can get a cord to come first. And that's something that is very dangerous and very scary. And that it's a very legitimate reason to transfer to the hospital. Of course, in my situation, it wasn't an emergency. I had planned a birth center birth, and that's what I really wanted. And at the time, you know, hormones of pregnancy, I was emotional about it. But when the dust settled, I tell moms this when we transfer sometimes at the birth center. Sometimes it's not about what you want. Sometimes it is about what you need. And that was definitely the case with myself.
So we've been talking a lot about how it feels from the mom's perspective. So what about the dads, expectant dads or partners that are there in the going through that experience? What kind of interactions or relationship do you have with those folks, Karen?
Well, dads come in with different expectations of what they want to do. We get a fair amount of the paramedics and firefighters who all want to help catch the baby, which is totally fine with me, and they are right there and in the shower and rubbing backs and catching babies and cutting umbilical cords, and sometimes I think they'd even like us outside of the room. they just want to do it all. They're adrenaline junkies. But and then we have dads who really kind of look at us like, oh my goodness, what have we gotten into and do I really have to stay? Yeah. And it's actually really fun to see them come around and watch them and the women that they're with and watch them be empowered and have this wonderful experience where their family goes from being just the two of them to being a family of three. And it's really very moving and emotional and spiritual and powerful.
And I think that midwifery care and out-of-hospital birth allows those husbands to participate in whatever environment or in whatever way makes them comfortable. And like Karen said, there's a whole wide range of that.
So one of the things that both of you are referring to is this kind of long-term relationship that you have that's more than just, you know, the prenatal and the birthing piece of having a baby and working with a midwife and having a baby at a birthing center. So, Karen, one of the questions I had asked you is, you know, kind of what support do midwives provide after childbirth? And so it's interesting to know kind of just immediately what happens afterwards, just that continued level of support that you're providing.
Well, basically, once the baby's born, there's a fair amount of vitals that are done on the mom and the baby and making sure that both of them are doing well. Within the first 2 hours of birth, we need to do a newborn exam. We want to make sure that breastfeeding has gotten well established. And a fair amount of this is also Amanda's job. And making sure, you know, if there's any little stitches that have to happen, taking care of those. Then we go through discharge teaching, and then the following day, somebody from our office, either a midwife or one of the birth assistants or Sarah, our lactation consultant, will go to people's house. Yes, we still make house calls. And we'll come and check on the mom and the baby to make sure that everybody's off to a good start. And then we continue to see people for 1 and 2 week postpartum exams and the 6 week postpartum exam, help them with birth control choices, make sure that the breastfeeding is going well, that the uterus is involuting, all of those different things. And then the part that's also fun for me is oftentimes I see people back on an annual basis for their well woman exams and a year or two or three later for a subsequent pregnancy.
That's one of the things that you had shared in our early correspondence was that it's not just about pregnancy with midwives, that there's also just regular exams for women that you're...
Correct.
Okay. So one of the other questions that has surfaced, and I think that relates back to kind of the complications that someone can experience in their birthing experience, is just the kind of the importance of the relationship that midwives and the birthing centers have with local physicians and hospitals. So can you talk a little bit more about that, Karen, about what that relationship looks like for you? And is there really kind of an ideal model of how that should work?
Well, I'm biased. Of course, I think that our model is the ideal model. We're a group practice. There are 3 nurse midwives and 2 direct entry midwives. And we have a backup physician whom we have chart review with on a weekly basis. That means that anybody who's 36 weeks or beyond or is newly pregnant or has any type of a complication, we go over with him. We make a plan as to how this pregnancy is going to progress, what things we need to check on, what things we need to be doing. And then besides our backup doctor, there's an entire call group of physicians that take call for us as our backups, and it's because of them that we have the hospital privileges. So I'm very fortunate if I call up and have something going on. You know, if I know somebody's water is broken and I might need to transport, I'll call the hospital early and they'll say, you know, this is what's going on. I have somebody who is, you know, 38 weeks and her water broke and it's her first baby and she hasn't gone into labor and it's been 18 hours and we may end up there. How is it looking for rooms? And they're really great about having open communication with us. And because of the fact that I practice there as well, it's very easy for me to make the transition from one to the other. Even when it's a more emergent transport, they've been great. I've called up before and said, please call my backup doctor. Please get everything ready. We're coming over for a C-section. I have X, Y, and Z coming, you know, the following scenario. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I worked at birth center down in El Paso, Texas, where the attitude really was, well, when you get here, we'll evaluate what's going on and we'll make the decision what needs to happen, which you lose critical amounts of time. Out-of-hospital birth is considered safe as long as your transport time is less than half an hour. And with where we're located right down on 36th, our transport time is 5 minutes. We have an ambulance station about 2.5 minutes from us. So that makes transport really, you know, safe for our clients. And it makes it to where I feel comfortable practicing there because we have this good relationship.
And I think it's just a level of trust that they have with you. And frankly, I always say we get the cream of crop. We're getting healthy women. You know, we're not bringing them a basket case. We're bringing them women that appropriately transfer.
No, you know, we don't wait till we've caused more problems. That's not the idea, you know, to have somebody who's had broken water for 2 days or 3 days and now has an infection. You know, if you if you follow the regulations mm-hmm. and you make appropriate referrals, you should have good outcomes.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade. And today we are talking about midwifery in South Central Alaska. My guests are Karen Braun and Amanda Rothbart, both with midwifery and women's healthcare at Geneva Woods. And they're also both moms that have had different types of birthing experiences. And we'd like to hear more about the experiences you've had. If you're in Anchorage, give us a call at 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So at the beginning of today's show, I also shared that KAKM, the public television station, is airing or debuting later this month on Sunday, September 30th, a British TV series. Call the Midwife is the title of that show. And I was just going to read a little bit, a little blurb about it because it has a little bit of a historical perspective. Call the Midwife is a moving and intimate insight into the colorful world of midwifery and family life in 1950s East London. We are introduced to the community through the eyes of young nurse Jenny Lee as she arrives at Nanita's house to live and work as a midwife alongside an order of nuns. The sisters and the midwives of the house carry out many nursing duties across the community. However, with between 80 and 100 babies being born each month, their primary work is to help bring safe childbirth to women in the area and to look after their countless newborns. So it'll be interesting to have you folks watch the program and to get to get your critique afterwards. So, folks, we would love to have you call us at 550-8433 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org if you wanted to share your story. One of the other questions that I've received via email from folks are talking about the economics of midwifery and thinking through the question of how does the picture of having a baby money-wise look perhaps different or similar to having a baby at a hospital and with a physician? So, Karen, can you share a little bit with us about, you know, what are the costs or fees and how do those compare to OBGYN services and hospital births?
Well, I know that most of the insurance companies now have gone to global billing, which means your antepartum care, the intrapartum care, the birth, and the postpartum care is all wrapped into one little package. And most, I believe our billing for the for that global fee is right under $8,000, on top of which there is a birth center fee of about $2,000. So for the total package, that would be about $10,000. And I think if you compare that to most of the OB and hospital births, you're looking at about $15,000 to $20,000, and if you're looking at direct entry midwives and home births, that number should be a little less, like in the $5,000 range.
Mm-hmm. And you said with insurance companies that you've had a good history there. Mostly, I'm reading something that you shared with me. In over 10 years, you've had only one patient whose employer self-funded plan
did not cover midwives.
Did not cover. Okay.
We're very lucky as nurse midwives. We are covered both by the Federal Blue Cross as well as by TRICARE and some of the other more outlying insurances that might not cover direct entry midwives. But the mainstream insurances like the Blue Cross, the Aetna, the Wells Fargo do all cover midwifery services.
Okay. So as we get towards the latter part of our show today, I was hoping that maybe both Karen and Amanda, that you could share a success story or a couple of success stories from Karen. You're over 19 years of experience. And Amanda, how long have you been a doula or birthing assistant?
I've been a doula for about 6 or 7 years and a birth assistant for about a year.
Okay. So if you reflect a little bit about that breadth of experience, Karen, are there specific stories or birthing experiences that come to your mind as just real success stories?
I don't know so much about success stories, but more about Alaskan stories.
Yeah.
Because when I first started, I practiced as a direct entry midwife, and I just had some really fun, phenomenal birth experiences. I had a mom who was pregnant in Cordova whose water broke, and we got on an airplane and we flew to Cordova. I had another mom who called and was in labor on December 22nd, a number of years ago. And that was a night when the power outages happened. And so we drove out to Palmer, and, you know, when I walked into their light, into their house, there was no light. It was all lit by candles. And it was just a really beautiful birth because we had all this candlelight around. And then about, I think it was about a minute after the baby was born, the power went on. And, you know, but just more, you know, the Alaskan type setting of birth that I've had a chance to experience. I've gotten into somebody's house by snowmobile.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking last night, doing the show today, that
I was worried last night because I was on call and I kept thinking, oh boy, I hope I don't have to go anywhere tonight.
Right, right. So we have a patient caller online, and hopefully I pronounce your name right. Is it Kia?
It's Kaya.
Kaya.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Kaya, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I had my second child at home, and I was 42 years old, and it was an awesome experience, and the house was cleaner afterwards than it was beforehand, and I was treated lovely. It was just very nurturing, and she was born up in Bear Valley, and it was great.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Kaya. So, yeah, thank you for your call.
Bye.
Bye. Amanda, how about you? Specific success stories, or just, as Karen phrased it, kind of the Alaskan story of your experiences?
Well, as a doula, I've gotten to see births at all the hospitals in town, and I've really enjoyed serving our military, specifically when spouses are deployed. I had one birth actually at Matsu Midwifery, but at the hospital in Matsu, where we Skyped with a dad in Afghanistan the entire time. And it's my understanding that the MD on was prior military himself, so he was really supportive and always made sure that the laptop that I brought was just perfect. And that was really exciting and so cool for that dad.
That's really neat. So, Jessica, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Karen. Karen was my midwife for my son. I have two kids that were both born at two different midwiferies. But the birth experiences were amazing. Oh. But I really wanted to stress how awesome the prenatal care is with midwives. I've had a lot of friends who had babies in hospitals where they're always really surprised at how long my appointments are and how in depth and how much communication I have with my actual provider. So,
well, that's great, Jessica.
Well, we're very lucky. We get an hour and a half for the initial prenatals, and then all of the rest of the appointments are at least a half an hour. The birth center orientation is an hour. The postpartum appointments are 45 minutes. So it's not just a five-minute appointment. We get to know these families, and it's fun to see them afterwards and in the community because you do have a connection with them.
Yeah. So how long ago did Karen deliver your baby, Jessica?
3.5 years.
she's right here kind of flipping through her mental files. I was going to ask her the question of how many babies have you delivered in Anchorage?
Well, I don't know how many in Anchorage. I think my total is around 700 and something. But Barbara Norton, who I practice with, she just recently hit baby number 1,000.
Wow. That's impressive. Well, thank you so much for your call, Jessica.
Bye, Jessica.
Bye.
Okay, and we have another patient caller waiting online. Elke, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thanks. I just wanted to share my
chat. Oh, it's a little hard to hear you, Elke. It's maybe you're on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Elke. I don't think we can hear you. Oh, we just lost her. So, Amanda, it looked like maybe you knew Elke.
I actually, my kids are with Elke right now.
Oh, it was your babysitter.
Okay. She lives in my neighborhood.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe in the last couple minutes that we have, we could share. There's a couple of resources that we have on our website, but I'm wondering if you folks have specific places that you could point expectant moms to. The interesting thing when I started asking, so I've had many colleagues that have had the midwife experience over the last few years. And when I asked them kind of what is your go-to reference, most of them said the Ina May book. Mm-hmm. But after that, kind of nothing. And so it seemed like it was a combination maybe of just working and having discussions with their midwives and or really peer support. So, you know, talking with other moms that have had that experience. So, Karen, do you have any specific places that you would point folks to?
There's a very good book, Gentle Birth Choices, mm-hmm. and also Sheila Kitzinger's books are really good.
Birthing from Within.
Birthing from Within. Mm-hmm. There's a fair amount of childbirth education classes in the community. There's some general childbirth education classes and then some hypnobirthing classes, some Birthing from Within classes. What's Cindy teaching? Bali?
There's...
I can't remember what she calls it, but Cindy Early Stanky has been teaching here in this community for a long time and does a great job with teaching as well.
And so to find out where those classes are, where could folks go?
There's a website, alaskabirthnetwork.org,
okay.
that lists all of those options. All of those people that are members of the Alaska Birth Network have to... sign the 10 initiatives to healthy birth choices. Those include things like freedom of movement, ability to eat and drink throughout labor, so on and so forth. But you can find all those things on their website.
Okay, and it was alaskabirthnetwork.org?
Yep.
Okay. Other resources, Karen?
Well, I was thinking for postpartum moms also, Providence Hospital has both the Cuddlers and the Cruisers program and also a great lactation clinic there. They are wonderful about just being a postpartum support group for moms as well.
Okay. Amanda, any final references that you'd like to share?
No. If people have questions about doulas, Dona, DONA.org is a good place to start as well.
Okay, this has been a great hour. I want to thank my guests, Karen Braun and Amanda Rothbart. Rothbart, I think I've probably been mispronouncing your name the whole time.
Two T-H's.
Rothbart, thank you.
It's okay.
Both with midwifery and women's healthcare at Geneva Woods. Next week on Hometown Alaska, you can join your host, Charles Woolforth, to talk about managing Chugach State Park. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org, and you can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Speck is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.